Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yechezkel Perkav Chet, Chapter 28. Perk 28 is the third and final nevuah about Tsur, with a small nevuah at the end about their sister country, Sidon. The first perek, Perk 26, Kavav, discussed the downfall of Tsur. Perk 27 presented to us a beautiful poem, a kinah, about the metaphorical ship that was Tsur who ended up capsizing in the sea. And now we come to Perek 28, the conclusion of the series. While we've offered a number of approaches, the question still remains why Yechezkel spent three prekim discussing the downfall of Tsur while he discussed the downfall of four other countries in only a few psukim each. Our first answer was that they broke the Brit Achim between the covenant of brothers between Hiram and David and Shlomo, an idea that is a theme in the Sefer about keeping your promises and keeping your brit and keeping the brit. Our second answer that we spoke about last perek is that it actually took many years to conquer Tsur, and Nebuchadnezzar besieged them, but only Alexander the Great conquered them. And therefore, Yechezkel did have to spend a long time talking about their strength and also talking about their downfall to assure the Jews that it would actually happen. And in this perek, we at the end will present a third approach as to why we have so many prekim talking about Tsur. Over the past few prekim, we've dedicated a lot of space to describing Tsur, their beauty, their strength, and their downfall. And we have not had so many psukim that spoke about their particular sin besides that they were happy about the fall of Yehuda, which is described in Parak 26. Now, in Parak 28, we have a description, a more specific description, of Tsur's actual behavior that may have led them to have joy at the fall of Yehuda. And Hashem tells Yechezkel in Pasuk Bet, Ben Adam, Amor l'nagid Tsur, go tell the prince of Tsur, Ko amar Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem, Ya'an gava libcha, Vatomar, El ani, Moshav Elohim yashafti, Belev yamim. Hashem says, the prince of Tsur said, I am a god. I sit at the seat of God in the midst of the seas. Vata Adam, Velo El, you are a person. You are a man. You are not a God. Vatitein Libcha, Kelev Elohim. You set your heart as if you were a God. This pasuk becomes the anchor of the perek. Tsur is blamed for their hubris, for their ego. Ata Adam, the low El. You are a person, you are not God. Vatitein Libcha, Kelev Elohim, but you think you are a God. In your heart, you feel God-like. You didn't realize that you are human. And then the parak goes on to describe all the good qualities and accomplishments of Tsur that led them to this conclusion, where the prince of Tsur could say, El Ani. Moshav Elohim Yashafti, I am a God. I sit at the seat of God. I am invincible. And now we are going to learn a little bit more about Tsur besides for their beauty. So besides for the protective geographic location as an island, Tsur accomplished a lot by their own wits and skill. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. B'chachmatcha ubetzfunatcha asita lachayil. By your wisdom, your sharpness, your understanding, that's how you got your riches. V'ta'asav v'kesef b'otzrotayich. And that's how you have so much gold and silver in your treasure houses. Tsur could have stopped there. They could have been grateful for their location, for their skill, for their success, and for their wealth. They certainly had it. But that is not what they did, Pasukei. Berov chachmatcha, beruchultacha, harbei chelech. You had great wisdom and you had great understanding of rechul teich, like trafficking, meaning merchant, a trade and business. And you did, you increased your riches that way. And as you got wealthier, your heart got haughtier and haughtier. And that is the reason for their future downfall. Therefore, says Hashem, Yan titcha et levavcha kelev Elohim. You made your heart as if it were the heart of God. You took that skill and those riches and you said, El Ani, I am a God. And therefore, Lachin Pasuk Zayin, Hinini Mevi Alech Zarim Aritzei Goyim, I'm going to bring strangers upon you, the terrible ones of all the nations. V'heriku Charvotam Al Yofi Chachmatecha V'chilulu Yifatecha. They're going to draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom, just like the ship when it gets into stormy waters. It doesn't matter how rich it is. When these countries come against you and they draw your swords, it doesn't matter that you're smart. They're going to hurt you anyway. They're going to defile your brightness. Tzur needs to be brought down because of their ga'ava, because they were genuinely talented. They were genuinely smart, good businessmen. They got wealth that way, but they didn't realize that those skills, those successes, the wealth that they accumulated, everything that we learned about in last parak, the description of the beauty of the ship, that was all Tzur's accomplishment. They didn't realize that this was a gift from Hashem. Both the end result and the process, both the money that they earned and the quick thoughtfulness, the savvy business sense that it took to earn it. Hashem granted them a special land, one that was filled with great beauty, and also offered them a natural protection from enemies and an opportunity to rule the seas. This land is described by Yechezkel, Be'eden Gan Elohim Hayita, Kol Evan Yekara Mesuchtech, Adam Pitadav Yahalom, Tarshish Shohan, Vyashbe, Sapir, Nofech, Birkat, Vizahav, Melechatupech, Venakvechbach, Biom, Hirbaach, Konenu. You lived in Gan Eden, in the garden of Hashem. You had every single precious stone, and then it lists them, the ruby, the topaz, emerald, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. You had these works of gold in you, and you made them. But you didn't stop there. Gavalibcha pasuk yitzayin biyafyech. You became egotistical. Your heart was lifted up because of this beauty. Shichata chachmatcha al yifateich. You corrupted your wisdom because of your brightness, meaning your star shone so bright, it corrupted you. Your wisdom should have kept you straight to know, to understand where this came from, but it didn't. And therefore, says Hashem, al eretz hishlachticha lifnei melachim netaticha l'ravabach. I had to throw you to the ground. I laid you before the kings, and they were going to see who you really are. There are different ways to live with abundance. Tzur chose the wrong path, that of haughtiness, but they didn't have to be that way. They could have taken their treasures, both external in terms of their land and what they have, and internal in terms of their great wisdom and acumen. And they could have appreciated these things and used them to build a good society, a just society, one who enjoys life but also helps the poor, does kindness. They could have been thankful to Hashem for what they had. But that is not what they did. The king of Tzur and the people in Tzur said, El Ani, Ubumoshav Elohim, Ani Yoshev. I am a god and I sit at the seat of God. Look how much I got. I got it because of me. And perhaps this is ultimately the reason why we have three prakim about Tzur. Here's our third approach. They are a real nation, Tzur, and they did have all these things, but they also function in a way as a mashal, as a parable of how to act and how not to act. Rav Benny Lau, in reading this parak, points out that it teaches us how to worship Hashem not from abdication from the physical world, but by embracing and elevating the physical world. A person does not have to live pat b'ma belach tochal, just a crust of bread dipped in salt, in order to be holy. While it might be one way to serve Hashem, and maybe even an easier way to serve Hashem, because it's always scary, maybe a person will turn to ga'ava, will turn to haughtiness, but it isn't the way that's proposed by this parak. Hashem wanted Tzur to enjoy their beautiful land, their riches, and their business acumen, but they had to do that without becoming haughty, without becoming corrupt, without losing their perspective that ultimately all their riches and all their talents are a gift from Hashem. And maybe in that way, they are a mirror to Yehuda and Yisrael, who live in an Eretz Zavat Chalav Dvash. A land flowing in milk and honey, a beautiful, a rich land. They also, Yehuda and Yisrael, have gifts from Hashem. They also have a special nature, but even more than Zor. And if they can't see it in themselves, that this was part of what brought about their downfall, that they did not use their talents and their land to serve Hashem, and instead they used it to serve themselves through the means of idolatry and self-service and corruption and running after money and pushing down the poor. If they can't see it in themselves, then maybe they can see it in Zor. Yechezkel's message is for the rebuilding, both specifically in Eretz Yisrael when they go back, but also personally on a spiritual level in their connection to Hashem. Sometimes it's easier to serve Hashem when they are poor and feel trapped and distant, when they are actually pushed down and don't have the wealth and power. But they have to realize that as they form their Jewish identity and as they come back and as they are going to be redeemed eventually, they can also serve Hashem out of strength and out of having goodness and out of being successful in their own land, like Tzur, like they were in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. The parak ends with its focus back on Yisrael. Ultimately, this nevuah's audience are the Jews of Bavel, who are hearing this nechama, this comfort from Yechezkel. And says Yechezkel at the end in Pasuk Kaf Hei, verse 25, Ko amar Hashem Elokim, bekapsi et Beit Yisrael min ha'amim asher nifotzu bam. When I eventually take you back, I take back Beit Yisrael from all the nations that they were scattered in them. V'nikdashti bam le'enei ha'goyim, and I will be elevated, I will be made holy through them in front of the eyes of all the nations. V'yashuvu al admatam asher natati lavdi li'Yakov, and they will return and they will live on their own land that I gave to my servant Yaakov. V'yashvu Levetach, they will live there in security. Ubanu batim, and they will build houses. Venatu kramim, and they will plant gardens. Vayashvu levetach, they will live in calmness, in peace, in security. Ba'asoti shvatim b'chol hasha'otim otam misviv otam, and I am going to, you will see my deeds done against those who have hurt them around them. V'yed'u ki ani Hashem Elokeihem, that I am Hashem, their God. When they ultimately return to Israel, the fall of Tzur and Sidon and all the other countries that had been bothering them for so long are no longer there, then it will make their existence so much easier. Notice the nevuah is given to Beit Yisrael, not just to Yehuda. And the land is identified with the one given to Avdi Yaakov, my servant Yaakov, the forefather of all the 12 tribes. When the Geula, when the redemption comes, they will be able to build houses and plant gardens. Words taken out of Yirmiyahu's letter to the Babylonian exiles from Galut Yehoyachin, telling them to settle for the time being in Bavel, that's from Yirmiyahu chapter 29, is now used to describe their settling back in Israel, not in a time of poverty, but in a time of abundance. The Geula, the redemptions that described here, is not a miraculous redemption, but rather each person living in security and safety under their vines and under their fig tree, and they do not have to be afraid. The parak ends with the phrase, V'yedu k'ani Hashem Elokeihem, and they will know that I am Hashem, their God, which is Yechezkel's tagline. This time is not when destruction comes, but when your enemies are destroyed and you return safely to your land, that you will know that I am your God. So ends our three prakim of our nevuah about Tzur. Thank you for learning together. Le'iloi Nishma Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.